B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Number three, Zolak, Bertrand, Dan Shaughnessy in studio with us. Major League Baseball wants to change their postseason in a dramatic way. Joel Sherman of the New York Post broke the story yesterday. He writes this: imagine a team picking its playoff opponent. Wow. Get to pick who you play.
That's like LeBron. He gets to pick who he gets to play with in the All-Star game. Team LeBron, team Giannis.
Not quite that easy, though, is it, Beetle?
He says, think about Brian Cashman and the Yankees deciding whether to face the Red Sox or avoid them in the first round of the postseason.
Ooh.
All on live TV. He said, well, it's probably coming soon to the major leagues.
Ooh.
MLB is seriously weighing a move from 5 to 7 playoff teams in each league beginning in 2022.
Mm. More games.
In this concept, the team with the best record in each league would receive a bye to avoid the wild card round, go directly to the division series. The two other division winners in the wild card with the next best record would each host all three games in a best of three wild card round. So the bottom three wild cards would have no first round home games. They don't play at home. You're going on the road for a road series.
Okay.
In someone else's ballpark.
Best of three, like a normal regular season series.
I already like this.
Okay.
As you know, I've not been a one-game playoff guy. Not been a huge fan of that. Yes, it manufactures drama.
I kind of like it.
But it's very much, and you're not
all
a baseball
tense.
Fan.
Yeah, but it's tense right there. You lose, you go home.
I don't
you
mind
don't get a second chance
playing. I don't. But three games makes more sense. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's awful. I just think three games is a better setup.
Okay,
a
bit more.
The division winner with the second best record would then get the first pick of those lower three wild cards. So they have to play. But because you were second, you pick which team you want. Then the other division winner would pick, leaving the last two wild cards that were unpicked play each other. It's not that complicated.
The best part of this is the disrespect of people picking you to play.
Right.
I mean, it creates hate right away. It
lends itself to so much bad.
Oh, you want us?
You know,
we're reshuffling our guys. It's all hands on deck.
First pitch of the game is right at the noggin. You know, like, oh, yeah, if you wanted to play us. I mean, there were some pitchers it would just be great to see in that situation that they chose to play you over someone else. Because no one will ever say that. Who would you rather play? We always try that. And everybody's careful. Oh, we just want to get to the next round. We don't care who it is. We'll show up, the whole thing. This would be an obvious demonstration. You have chosen. We think you guys suck. So we're going to play you because that's how we're going to advance. I mean, the umbrage is perfect for this thing. I love it.
So last year, the Red Sox in 2019 would have made the playoffs as the fourth wild card team. They would have been in. Here are the teams that would have been in. The Astros in 2019 were the
cheaters.
The team with the bye. They were 107-win team.
Yep.
They would have had the bye. The Yankees were a division winner. The Twins were a division winner. So they're both in. And so then the remaining wild cards would have been the A's and Rays, as well as two teams that did not get in, the Indians and Red Sox. So the Indians at 93-69, respectable record, 93 wins. And then the 84-win Red Sox would have been in the playoffs.
But you're doing this the night the season ends? You choose that night?
Yes.
Because, you know, you need to know whose pitcher is rested, who's got what. I mean, that information has to come into
so
this.
So it could become a factor. Like, if
absolutely.
let's say the Indians, okay? Actually, let's use one of the good, the actual teams that we're in. Let's say the 97-win A's. That wouldn't make a ton of sense. It would have to be between the second and third team. So we have to manufacture a scenario. Let's say the Rays and Indians were neck and neck for that mm-hmm. wild card spot or a wild card spot. And you, like you said, a better team that you perceive to be a better team that may have played in a tougher division, may have had some injuries along the way, and now they're more healthy as you get to the end of September. You can see scenarios where you say, oh, I'm picking a team with a better record than a team with a worse record simply because I think one team's better than the other. The record doesn't fully explain it if they're close. I get what you're saying.
But
if you had had used all your pitching at the end of the year.
It's more than a one-game series, though, that first round.
Right, it's three games.
Because that takes a little bit away from if Randy Johnson's on full rest, but the team's terrible, we're going to stay away from
them. All right, use this example. The fourth wild card team needed to use their Randy Johnson to get in. And he pitched on the final day of the season because it was a must-win game. He may not be able to pitch until game three.
And it could be over
by then.
It could be over.
Yep.
May never see him. That could factor in. I like this. I love that you get to pick. Nothing like that in sports right now.
Getting to pick is good.
Did they shorten the regular season any? Like less games?
No.
No.
Couple more.
It's like the year that the Patriots
shave off 12.
Remember when the Patriots could play in Jacksonville or Pittsburgh in the first round? So they had Matt Castle throw the ball.
We're going to throw the ball in the third round.
That was the equivalent of this. It was just done on the field, but it was a conscious choice.
We want Byron Leftwich.
We can win this game and play the Steelers, or we
the 12-4 Jaguars.
Jags.
Yeah, we're going to go with the Jaguars and their black pants.
That was as close as we've seen to a selection.
Yeah. You're right.
And it worked out. Yeah,
like a Doug Flutie dropkick.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice just to get like teams in baseball who didn't like each other again.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore.
No.
Not to the extent that we used to. And that would create some real animosity. Oh,
yeah.
You want to play us because you think we're the easy mark here?
It's just funny that this is what they want to change, but yet we're going to keep the delays in there. We're going to keep no pitch clock and all that. We're going to ignore all that other stuff, even though we dropped the ball in a collective bargaining
process. Well, this is more money. This is more tickets, more games.
Oh. To your point, though, that goofy three batter minimum thing is coming in this year, and I predict that will be a one and done. I don't think that'll last.
Oh, really? You think the Players Association and pitchers will fight that?
People aren't going to like that as much as they think. It's going to really compromise the game. It's a bad idea. I don't like it. 1 year.
Don't make the change.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Yeah. All right. So they're hoping to play these series starting right away, like the Tuesday following the end of the season, and play three consecutive days. It works.
Sure.
The math works, Dan. And they want to do a selection Sunday type of show where a representative from the team on Sunday night, at the end of the regular season, we'll have a representative pick on live TV. Joel Sherman wrote, think the NCAA selection show, but just with the teams making the selections. The rights to that show is part of the enticement to potential TV partners. Like, you get the selection show as part of your package for Fox or for ESPN. You get the MLB selection show.
A lot of travel chaos to that, too. Where are we going? You find out Sunday night.
Do you want to hear Trevor Bauer's take on this?
I was just going to say, so you like it, Beatle. You know who doesn't like it?
Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
He says, no idea who made this new playoff format proposal, but Rob is responsible for releasing it. So I'll direct this to you, Rob Manfred. Your proposal is absurd for too many reasons to type on Twitter and proves you have absolutely no clue about baseball. You're a joke. Does that seem reasonable?
Seems a little. He's lashing out a little bit.
No, give me one reason.
Yeah,
give me your best reason.
He could have typed 10 more things.
Oh, you can add tweets.
Yeah.
You know, all right.
Reason one.
Yeah.
It more accurately represents the season than the current format. A three-game series is better than a one-game playoff, which players have complained about. You're going to do exactly what you do all year long. So the problem here is that it all needs to be collectively bargained, Dan. And Rob Manfred's a big baby, and he backs down to players every time.
Yes.
He's also a horrible commissioner. Have I mentioned that before?
Yeah.
He's really bad at it.
It's been underwhelming to this point.
Yeah. How about the fact that privately he's been chastising Jeff Luhnow and publicly pretty much clearing him? How do you feel about that?
It's not good. I don't like that.
Yeah, not good at all.
Nope.
Jeff is in Nashua on Manfred. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Always glad to talk to you, and especially with Shaughnessy there. Listen, the state of baseball, it just is driving me crazy. Your rant yesterday, Mark, was spot on. For me, though, it's about 5 or 6 years too late, maybe more than that. And take this with a grain of salt. Now, as a former Division II specialist with a sub-16 ERA, I feel like I got something to say on the matter.
Yeah, sure.
But So Rob Manfred gets involved in 1987, joining them with collective bargaining. In 1989, they ban Rose for life. Then you have a whole series of bad decisions, all to be culminated with Major League Baseball partnering up with DraftKings for gambling. The whole thing is absolutely ludicrous. And why would anybody stay involved watching it when you could go through one by one from Manfred joins La Russa? He's at the epicenter of the steroid thing with the 89 A's winning the World Series. Ridiculous. The 94 strike. Manfred served as outside counsel to the owners. And, you know, then they have to decide, how are we going to get the people back? Well, of course, you know, they're going to juice. Well, and just so coincides with Manfred joining them full time. And then in 1998, the Sosa McGuire thing, Seelig's reaction, treating them like they're heroes. 99, the Chicks dig the long ball campaign.
Okay, we get it. So Manfred's bad. He needs to go.
But it's what I guess my question is, has got to go to Dan, is everybody is very critical of the players in all of this, but it's from the top down that the cheating was known about, and it continues to go on.
I disagree with you wholeheartedly, Jeff. I don't think the players have faced the brunt of the criticism. The managers and the front office
this latest cheating thing, they've faced nothing.
Who's faced the worst criticism red-handed because of the cheating?
Alex Cora,
AJ Hinch, and Rob Manfred here.
Carlos Beltran.
Yes.
Three guys lost their job.
And Jeff Luhnow looks ridiculous. Again, that's a Manfred thing, which is why Manfred's facing crap.
The players have been off. Scott
players have gotten scared. Who's criticizing players?
Nobody.
Totally.
We haven't. I don't know anybody who has.
Can't put a finger on them.
Who's gone after the players? Baseball has said we won't punish the players.
Well, and as I said, I'm getting really bothered by the 17 World Series now. That was a 7-game series. The Dodgers got porked in that thing.
Yes, they did.
That's not good.
Yes, they did.
They should be. Absolutely. This is like when Canseco was MVP in 88, Greenwell wanted the trophy because it turned out he was juicing all the time.
How about the pitcher who is suing the Houston Astros? Yes, suing the Astros now for their cheating in 2017. The details of that are next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. There's a pitcher suing the Astros, and he's got a case. At least I think so. I don't know if he's going to win in court, but he makes a good case. Former Blue Jays reliever, Mike Bolsinger, got roughed up, went out there and got abused by the Astros in a game back in 2017. I don't know if you know, Dan, but someone has gone back and done the legwork on going over the tapes of the games. Did you know that? All the Astros games in 2017?
Well, yeah, there was that one fan. He logged like 1,000.
Where you hear the
8,000 pitches or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, according to the fan who went back and documented every instance of the trash can banging that took place in 2017, the most bangs took place in an August 4th, 2017 game. And the most bangs in the game with the most bangs, the inning that had the most, was when Bolsinger was on the mound. According to that lawsuit, there were bangs on 12 of the 29 pitches that Mike Bolsinger threw in that game.
Man, throw less fastballs.
The Astros won the game 16-7. That game, after they absolutely abused Mike Bolsinger by banging on the trash can, that was his last time he was in the major leagues because he was demoted following that game.
Oh.
And never made it back.
Well, that's a problem.
That game ended Mike Bolsinger's major league career. At least it appears that way. He's 32 years old now. He said to USA Today yesterday, "I don't know if I've had a worse outing in my professional career. I remember saying it was like they knew what I was throwing. They're laying off pitches that they weren't laying off before. It's like they knew it was coming. That was the thought I had in my head. I felt like I didn't have a chance."
I believe that because you get in a rhythm as a pitcher. Yeah, totally.
August 4th, 2017, the game with the most banging on the trash can and the pitcher they were banging the trash can the most against in that game, Mike Bolsinger. He's filed the lawsuit. He's seeking damages, including damages for himself. He's asking the Astros to forfeit $31 million in bonuses from the 2017 World Series win.
Steep. This is like what is that, Reverend Dave or whatever.
He wants
$931 trillion.
He wants the funds sent to charities in the L.A. area, in Los Angeles, for the Dodgers, having lost the World Series. So he is seeking the $31 million that the franchise netted from winning the World Series. He wants the franchise to turn around and donate $31 million to Los Angeles-focused charities that work on bettering children's lives. That's what he wants them to do.
His heart's in the right place.
He said he's not asking for the $31 million. He's saying send it to charities in L.A.
It's a lot of money, but
he also wants to create a fund for retired baseball players who need financial assistance. So Bolsinger went 0-3 with a 6.31 ERA in his 11 appearances that year, which is why I think he might have a little bit of a problem in the lawsuit. They're going to say you suck anyway. It's going to be their defense.
He had 162 games. He only had two other appearances.
John Wasden.
No, he had 10 other appearances.
Oh, 10 other appearances.
In that season.
So 0-3 is a record. So you're saying 0-3 is a record?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's seeking damages, and he's suing them. And if there was someone who's got a case, I mean, this is the guy. I got demoted. I never made it back. You beat me up so badly, I lost out on any further opportunities to prove myself in the major leagues.
He blackmarked him.
Yeah,
it's like the guy that throws six picks. Yeah. Six picks, three. Well, you threw the picks.
617-779-0985. Smitty's in New Jersey. Smitty.
Hey, I just want to ask Dan.
Yes.
Veritek's name wasn't thrown out that much regarding the manager. Was it because of the fiasco with the chicken and beer thing years ago where he showed lack of leadership as as the captain on the team that year?
No. We talked about Veritek a lot.
He's just not that prepared for it. And, I mean, he hasn't managed anywhere. He's not a real communicator. I mean, everyone's scared to death of him, but it's not like he's all about communication with today's players. He's a very good preparer, all that stuff. I don't see him as ready at this place. Yeah. Be careful what you wish for. That's a pain in the butt. The person who does this job, it's like being Chaim Bloom on the bench. It's a little tough. You're probably not going to look that good.
Here's something. Did he want the job?
Yeah,
everybody assumes he wants the job.
Right.
Yeah, I
wouldn't make that assumption.
Right. I think he kind of does. I believe he does, just based on other people he's talked to. But I don't have a lot of background on that.
Rob is in Saugus today. Rob.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a couple of points. One, I want to ask Dan if he can remember this. Then I want to get back to the Mookie Betts trade. Dan, what was the last impact free agent bat that was signed that went to the World Series or won the World Series? I have. The last one was Teixeira, but they got Sabathia with him. But J.D. Martinez in 2018 was the only difference on the team between except Cora and him from the year before. And the other question is with Mookie Betts. I don't think it's going to take the Red Sox. Hear me out now. I don't think it's going to take the Red Sox 5 years to rebuild. Next year, there's only two teams going after Mookie Betts. Two teams, the Dodgers and the Red Sox. And the bidding's not going to start at $400,000. It's going to start at $300,000.
Well, I don't believe
Machado
it.
Machado and Harper wanted $400,000.
Million.
And they ended up in the low 300. I mean, 400 million. And they ended up in the low 300s. Right now, not what? There's no, the Yankees ain't going after. Maybe the Mets, maybe the White Sox, they're in on a few deals, but they never get anybody. Yeah, you know, it's just going to be the Dodgers and the Red Sox.
What makes you think so the Red Sox are going to get in the bidding for this guy? Why would they?
Because it's going to stop. Because if just for one of those things they be saying, wait for future judgment. Next year they come out. They get Betts back. The year after that, J.D. Martinez leaves. They already got $16 million. Yeah, well, then you really know if he wants to come back or not, if it's the money. If they offer him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you would, and they're not going to go there. They don't want to go there. That's what this was all about. They don't want to go where that's going.
They don't want to pay him.
It's not like Paul in Rhode Island.
They don't want to go where that's going. And I think the Dodgers, I think they'll extend him soon. I wouldn't be surprised if it's just announced.
That they're going to make such an offer that they just get it done now because they can convince him with...
They really need him. They have no black players. One thing in the market they're in, and they need this in a lot of ways. He's a great player, and they're built to win now. They have the dough. I say they'll extend him. I know he wants to find out what's out there, but pretty good situation. I mean, how much better is he going to do? Like the Braves, the Mets. Like as the caller said, I mean, the Red Sox aren't going to be part of it, but it's going to be pretty limited. How many teams are going to be part of that? White Sox maybe. Who wants to go there? You know, I mean, he's in a great spot. And the Dodgers really, they want to make him a franchise face, no question, I believe.
I bet he remains in L.A.
Yep.
As soon as it was L.A., I said, oh, they're going to sign him.
Yeah.
They're going to pay him. He's going to stay there.
God, World Series. Mookie Betts, David Price.
Hey, now you can
you're penciling him in for the World Series already?
Well, they always manage to not make it, but yeah, I think this time, yeah.
I mean,
they're really good.
I never do that in baseball. Too much can happen. It's a long season. Too much can happen. Betts doesn't have a great postseason track record.
No, he doesn't.
So, let's factor that in.
Yep.
And Price doesn't have an overwhelming postseason record either.
Oh,
2018 was great. He was excellent in the World Series.
Nobody's been grittier there, Beetle.
You know, he was great in October of 18, but outside of that.
Nobody's been grittier and loves to compete more than him.
Still got that duck on the water with the legs.
One thing you need to hope is it Gratterall does not turn into Gratterall.
Keep playing. You've got to get this right for tomorrow.
No, I don't.
Adderall. Adderall.
Yeah, him to not turn into Rich Gossage or something. You know, yeah. I mean, they would be well served if he has an unfortunate surgery. Because if he ends up being great,
oh boy,
that's going to be bad. I mean, this thing's already bad. That would make it worse.
I like the new deal better than I like the first one.
I do not. It's safer. I mean, they weren't going to get value for value anyway.
How is it
anyway.
Safer if you don't know what?
Because no one's going to remember these two guys. Like, people are going to be watching Verdugo every day. Yeah. That's the guy they got for Betts. And if the big right-hander from Minnesota were here, they'd be saying the same thing about him. They're not going to be saying it about the other two guys because they're not going to see him. They'll forget about it. Footnotes. Till later.
For now.
Well, certainly for a now. Catcher. You know, it's just
we'll evaluate it down the road.
This is what we get for Betts.
617-779-0985. We've got Dan's dates coming up at 12:50. You don't want to miss it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Was there a way that you could accomplish what you wanted to do in terms of your payroll without trading with you?
Yeah, I think it's worth, you know, and we've said this before, but I think it's worth reiterating. You know, the goal to get under the CBT is not an end in itself. It's part of a larger goal, our biggest goal, which is to put ourselves in position to compete and win sustainably for as many years as we can. And using our resources effectively is a means to that end. It's part of that goal. So we wanted to get under the CBT in service of that larger goal, and we weren't going to do it in a way that wasn't going to help us with that bigger goal. So, you know, the CBT was not a major factor in us deciding to do this deal, as much as it was a goal for us this offseason.
Heim Bloom last night, impromptu press conference. That was called quickly. All the guys hanging out in the parking lot were then allowed into the building.
I find this quite interesting. No,
they were warned 8 hours early. Yeah. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, do you know this is?
No, what do you mean by that?
He came in and he said, "I'll have something for you later." Yeah. And they waited around 8 hours.
Did you remember the Patriots?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he didn't say press conference, though.
Remember when he stopped going to Gillette? Like the Patriots press conferences were like, it's going to be after practice, but you got to get there for the coach.
Right.
Sorry, get over
it. Wait, so 8 hours they had to sit there?
Yes. They said there was a walk-in moment, and then 8 hours later, there was the thing.
Like, he's in there, the lights are on.
Yeah, it was a very...
because they were waiting in the parking lot the entire time.
Yes.
The stakeout.
Just hanging around. Think how sunburned I would have been if I had been down there. You know, be over for me.
Oh, poor you.
One day, one hour.
Well, they have a shade.
The greatest Patriot one ever was the Mona Lisa. It was a Saturday, and no one was there.
Like four guys,
which is, I think, why they chose it.
Who's going to ask the question? I don't know. I don't think it was fully answered last night. They did ask about Verdugo's off the field. Do we have a cut on that, T-Bone? Verdugo's off the field issues and the sort of character makeup, and he's been accused of filming an assault that took place.
We don't know.
What do you mean we don't know?
I don't know that he's accused of that.
He is by Nick Francona, son of Terry Francona.
Oh, correct.
Nick Francona's on the record accusing him of that.
There is one source on that.
Right? Yeah. So he worked for the organization.
Yes.
When that happened. And
that
he said,
correct.
That was his understanding. Kapler he said he was careful with the wording.
Well, he's legally protecting himself there.
Right,
he's my understanding was it was Verdugo doing the taping.
I don't think
Nick Francona was in the room.
Right.
Right? And he didn't say he was.
Probably has good information.
Wasn't like he saw it firsthand, but
I would say he has good information.
He said, my understanding, the way it was described to me at the time was that Verdugo, because he wasn't there firsthand to know, you know, he wasn't in the room during the assault to know who it was.
My understanding is that the police report is very ambiguous.
Yes. I've seen some screen grabs of it.
Yep.
And it appears to be that way.
Intentionally ambiguous.
Yes.
Right. 5-year-old episode. February 2015. I think it was in Arizona, right?
Yes.
Glendale.
Near their minor league complex.
I mean, well, it's fair to say this guy's got baggage, and he's demonstrated immaturity. You can start with that. I mean, you know, Rich Hill's airing him out in the clubhouse last year. And
your guy, and Rich Hill.
I love Rich Hill. Whatever side Rich Hill is on, I am on that side. Yes, always. But anyway, and there's a lot of, you know, we don't know anything about Verdugo, but what little we have, it's going to take a special toolbox skill set here to survive here, I think, coming in under these conditions. You're the man who was acquired for Mookie Betts. You are the one major league person that they got back for this giant package of people. And it's a lot on a young guy. And if you have, I hope he's ready for it, equipped for it.
Matt Barnes said he still believes, he said today, Chris Smith tweeting out a quote from him. Listen, Mookie and DP were phenomenal players and still are phenomenal players, but you look around our team and we've got a bunch of all-stars and a bunch of phenomenal players that we still feel like we're going to compete for a championship.
Let's go.
Well, it is a mistake to dismiss them as tomato cans. I mean, they have a really good lineup. I mean,
see, now this is the point I have argued. It was a bit last night, but before that, with Mookie Betts and David Price on this team, I still thought that was a pretty good team. You go through the lineup.
In the mix.
Yeah,
their bullpen is still an issue.
Now, if you had done nothing, I'm sure the popular opinion would be around here. The Yankees are going to absolutely crush them this year.
They finished 19 games ahead of you, and they added Gerrit Cole. So that's tough. But
it's tough. But you just look, forget about what happened last year. You know, you're telling me that the loss, still going back to that of Rick Porcello and a closer that you wouldn't even trust in the World Series, essentially were your two main departures. You just completely fell off the map last year. No, I think last year was there were two aberrations. The 108 win season, obviously.
No cheat.
Yeah, that was no ridiculous. Cheat. That was ridiculous, yeah. But last year was ridiculous, too. The truth probably lies somewhere in the middle with the way that team was constituted. And if Betts and Price were still here for this season, it's a pretty good ball club.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But a lot of people said, like, no, they weren't going to be able to. Really?
Yeah.
J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, really?
Let's assume everything for
Andrew
the Yankees.
Andrew Benintendi, really? You got nothing, huh?
Let's assume everything for the Yankees goes to plan in the regular season. They crush it and they blow everybody away. You're telling me that the Red Sox should not have been in competition for a wild card spot
to be
in the playoffs?
Thank you.
Like, have you seen the other teams in the American
Detroit,
League? Have you seen what else is out there? Yes, of course. No, I don't. If everything goes to plan, I don't expect them to be as good as the Yankees. But you can't beat them in a series.
Right.
You can beat anybody in a series.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, it just happens in baseball.
Say Chris Sale has a bounce back year.
Yeah. The team with the best roster does not win the World Series every year. That has been proven and time again.
I'm not gonna go so far as to say, you know, what Dan did. It's like, oh no, they could still be in I do not believe that this is going to be as good a team as they would have been, obviously. And if they succeed, they're probably about this. If they're really successful with this squad, probably about the same or a little better than last year.
84 That's wins it. Is low expectation. I think in Vegas they went from 87 to 84 yesterday.
I think they'd have to perform above expectation to reach that mark.
Well, Chaim Bloom even admits they're worse.
Let's get to Dan's dates. Not as great as last week, Dan.
You love last week.
I've checked out the dates. I'm not sure they're as good as last week.
Sell it.
Dan's dates. On the way.
Wasn't he the one who said we weren't allowed to do this anymore?
I know,
he was the one.
I'm doing it again.
No kidding.
There are some significant items. I just don't know that there's the volume.
Totality?
Yes.
Okay. But it's a weird date.
There are some significant items, but again, I don't know if we have the same volume that we had a week ago. The hits just kept on coming.
It was a lot.
Dan's dates are coming your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
All right, before we get to our dates here, so my man Dan Shaughnessy, this is actually typed out with your name on the back, actually has a Winston's Flowers card. We love Winston's Flowers here at the station. Valentine's Day is coming up.
I have a card.
You actually you shop at Winston's?
Yes.
Wow. Look at you.
I sent my wife flowers every week for the first year of our marriage. Every week.
What'd that get you?
No, you didn't.
I ask her.
Every single week?
Every week I send flowers for the first year of our marriage.
Wow. What a romantic man you are.
Then I just stopped. Yeah.
That's guilt.
It's enough already. It's expensive.
I get some. It's like, what'd you do?
All right, Dan. Today's February 11th.
Yes.
What do you got?
Okay, people's birthday today. Who knows who Tina Louise is?
Oh, sure.
All right.
I don't know who Tina Louise is.
You know her. You know her. So you know her, too.
Is she in Princess Band?
Are we going to play some Tina Louise?
Princess Band?
Well,
like, she's like a Sheila E. type?
No. No.
Oh, she's Ginger?
Thank you.
I know who Ginger is.
Who am I thinking?
Oh, I don't know.
Who's Zoe?
And you said you'd have to play the theme from Gilligan's Island if we were going to get to play anything. But yeah, she's 82 today. Ginger.
Were you Ginger or Marianne?
Marianne. Yeah. Beetle.
I have her as 86 today, Dan. Not 82.
I thought you'd be more of like 86. Mrs. Howell.
86.
No. February 11th, 1934.
Bad information.
You screwed up your first date.
Wow.
Yeah,
misprint.
It just says here, you know, it's her birthday. So not to be trusted, the further birthdays.
who are we thinking of, though?
I don't know who you were thinking of.
I was thinking of some female artist, like with a rap background.
I know.
Yeah.
Who is it? All right, well.
Hardy, were you Ginger or Marianne?
Oh, Marianne.
Tina Marie?
Tina Marie!
Oh, yeah,
Tina Marie!
That's who you're thinking of.
Oh,
you know her?
God.
Yeah, I know her.
Yeah, she's good.
Tina Marie.
I'm like, wait.
Tina Marie.
Yeah, it does. It's
Come on, Tom.
To Hardy.
Tina Marie.
I cue some up. Thomas Edison and Burt Reynolds were born on this day. They're no longer with us. The despicable Alex Jones is 46 years old today. Jeb Bush. Who wants to guess how old Jeb Bush is? Low energy Jeb.
56.
No.
Do you know who's the Alex Jones of sports gambling? Lifshatz. angry, yelling.
Jeb Bush is 60 voice. Today.
He is 67.
Please clap.
Wow. Pretty good for low energy. How old is Sheryl Crow?
Sheryl Crow, she's got to be,
I'm going to say,
51.
58.
54.
Bingo, Beetle. Yeah, on the nose. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really good. Yep.
Every day is a winding road.
You're still bringing it. Sarah Palin is 56 today.
Oh, squeaky voice.
Jennifer Aniston. Now, she didn't make it to the Oscars, correct? She was not there for Brad?
She was at the Golden Globes.
They had a backstage moment.
You
know, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's 51 today. I think you said that on the nose there.
He's probably thinking, look at what this. Look like, at, I screwed this up.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Damian Lewis is 49 today. He's had a pretty good career. Looks a little bit like the ex-coach of the Cowboys, don't you think? Yeah, Damian Lewis. You hate that guy.
Garrett.
Yeah. He looks like Jason Garrett. Yeah, cue them up sometime. Yeah. He does. Stuff that happened on this day. Paul Pierce.
I couldn't place who you were talking about. All right.
Yeah, the redhead. You know,
Billions and Homeland.
Billions, right. Homelanders at All-Star. He was hung in Homeland in the episode season 3. That was the end of him.
Spoiler.
Yeah, wrote him right out of it. Paul Pierce's number was retired on this date 3 years ago.
The truth.
Did they have a video for Isaiah Thomas that night, or was that...
No, they canceled it. Remember?
They shelved that. Yeah,
I think that was.
Well, if he comes back, they're going to have another video.
Stuff. On this date, February 11th in 1937, a 6-week-old strike against GM. These are your people there already. It ended with the company agreeing to recognize the United Automobiles Workers Union.
I stayed in that.
Wasn't recognized till 37. Who knew?
It's a hell of a building.
They had some pretty good deals in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Man, oh man!
I ate upstairs at the top floor of that building.
They lived well. On this date, 1945. President Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin signed the Yalta Agreement. I love Yalta. Anything you say Yalta, I come running. Love the Yalta. Great pictures. On this date, 1979, followers of Ayatollah Khomeini seized power in Iran. His followers, that is.
So if you're at a cocktail party and someone just says Yalta, you just stop whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, I don't know. I mean, like, you understand the picture, right?
Oh, it's
Stalin, Churchill.
Oh, it's a big game. Sure.
Yeah, it's a game changer. We had a moment like that in the Sox clubhouse once when Butch Hobson met with Wade Boggs and Roger Clemens. It was a little bit of a hissing contest going on where Clemens was going for the ERA title, Boggs was going for the Gold Glove, and they charged an error to Boggs late in the game, and Clemens had it changed. They charged a hit, but Boggs had it changed to an error. I'll be right with you, Izzo. Boggs had it changed, and it affected Clemens' ERA, so they had to have a big meeting. It was Yalta-esque. All right, Izzo, come on back.
All right, he's fine.
On this date in 1990, Nelson Mandela was freed after 27 years in captivity.
That's a big one.
In 2011, the streets of Egypt were filled with joy. They dumped Hosni Mubarak.
Not as big.
Well, he was famous in baseball history. He signed the baseballs and defaced them. It was signed by Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams.
Oh,
he was at the game, and they had DiMaggio and Williams sign a box of balls. And he thought, well, they must want me on here too.
Oh so my god!
And Mubarak. Wait, did Mubarak sign the baseball?
Yeah, I think it was hieroglyphics or something.
You know, I would have taken the stitching out and removed that panel and replaced it.
If you Google that will come up. It was in Baltimore.
I think get out of here.
That's a good tip.
George Bush had them all there, and the Egyptian guy ruined everything. On this date, really bad one.
Beetle's going to get one of those balls now. It's like a collector's item.
Oh, my God. Well, found it, wait, right? So George Bush signed it, too, though.
Yeah.
March 4th, 1989. It was an opening day presidential visit to Baltimore Stadium. And so Ted Williams signed the ball. President George Bush signed the ball. And then Mubarak signed the ball.
Well, why wouldn't you? I thought Joe D was there, too. I was misinformed. Okay.
The last one that I could find a price on.
How much is that going for?
The last one that sold, it would go for a lot more now. It sold in 2002, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was up for auction, and it sold for like $1,100.
John Sununu had one. I know that because he was there that day. On this date, bad one. 2012, Whitney Houston found dead in a hotel bathroom in Beverly Hills, California. That's 8 years ago.
And Tina Marie's dead.
But Tina Louise is alive. Go figure.
We're not sure how old she is, but she lives.
54.
She's lying about her age. On this date in 2013, Pope Benedict XVI resigned.
Have you seen The Two Popes?
I love The Two Popes.
Great movie.
Great movie.
I didn't know Anthony Hopkins was in it until I watched the Oscars.
Oh, my God.
Great movie.
You know, it was like the good Pope and the bad Pope.
That's got a new Pope? New Pope?
This is which led to one of the greatest radio moments of all time was... Francesa waiting on the announcement of the new pope.
Do we have a pope?
I mean, Benedict was—he was harsh. I mean, he was a Nazi. You know, literally,
Yeah. Like, Nazi.
They couldn't find someone who wasn't
Ratzinger.
You know, yeah, he was a laughing boy. You know, so that was not good.
The vice angel.
Last one on this date in 1943, Dwight Eisenhower was selected as commander of the Allied forces in Europe. That's all I got, boys. Anything else?
I think you hit most of them.
I got one here that I didn't know about this. I read about it while we're preparing for this. On this date, 1960, President Eisenhower proposed a new law making payola a criminal act in radio.
Radio. Yeah.
This was fresh off the quiz show scandal, which we've talked about here before. But apparently this all blew up. There was a big radio convention down in Miami, of all places.
Radio Row?
Good place to have that.
And Wesley Hopkins of KYW, hey, in Cleveland, admitted to receiving, over the course of 2 years, $12,000 in listening fees from record companies.
It's a good rate.
That's $12,000?
Good money if you can get it, my friends.
60 years ago?
What a scam.
Yeah. I mean, like, even Oedipus would have looked and said, oh, that's pretty good money. Yeah. We're getting under the table. That's not bad.
I wonder what Arnie Woo Woo Ginsburg was getting.
But they were adamant against it. They're like, what? No, this is capitalism. This is like putting a nice apple on the teacher's desk. There's nothing wrong with that, but we all know it ruined everything. Well, not everything. It was pretty good. It was pretty good up until like early mid-90s.
Dan, here's an item for you. 1954, you know how they celebrated Edison's birthday in New York?
No.
They celebrated and commemorated the 75th anniversary of him inventing the light bulb by lighting a 75,000-watt light bulb in Rockefeller Center.
Like staring at the sun.
Sounds like my new flashlight.
Go blind. Go blind looking at that thing, Hardy. Keep that flashlight away from the dog's eyes.
Yeah, we're into Prover time, so I will see you guys in like.
Hey, have a good trip.
We're having a nice talk here. We're having a nice visit.
Maybe I'll call you when the owners talk on.
Monday. Monday should be the day, right?
Should be a good day. Yeah. Okay.
I wonder.
Yeah, send your questions.
We're having a nice chat here.
Email me your questions.
We're a nice chat here, and Dan just feels the need to leave.
Well, they just white smoke from Rome. Really, we have. Do we know who it is? We have a pope, huh? Wow.
I think that was when Ratzinger became pope, though. I don't think that was when they changed popes.
I thought that was when they changed popes.
You got a pope?
Got pope? I don't know. You got white smoke, got gray smoke. No smoke.
That was the first time we learned the producer was not allowed to talk.
He's not allowed to talk to Mike.
Yeah, that's...
On air.
Yeah, we
did. You're talking his ear, but he can't.
It was either a new rule at that time or I hadn't heard about it up until that point.
Well, Mike, explain it. Wow. You're disrupting the rhythm of the show.
So white smoke from Rome, I wonder what that means in terms of, tell me when you turn on the news channel, tell me what that means in terms of time. Okay, so we have a pope.
white smoke. The sports pope.
We got pope.
Talking about.
I remember watching that split screen with him. They had him on. He's just talking. He's looking through the window. And there's the picture of the Pope, the top of the roof, and the chimney. And then it's the Pope, is the stuff coming out.
Wow.
That is 13. That is from the last time. Yeah. So it was when Bergoglio became Pope.
Whoa.
Whoa. All right. Hardy has headlines. Fourth and final hour on the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.